Welcome to Just a Minute. Is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the program four exciting, exuberant, exceptional players of this game. And they are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Giles Brandreth, and seated on my left, Graham Norton and Jenny Eclair. Will you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me keep the score. She's going to blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in Broadcasting House. And as usual, I'm going to ask our players if they will talk for just a minute without hesitation, repetition, or deviation on the subject that I give them. And we begin the show with Paul Merton. Paul, an interesting subject. Our American cousins. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
I was recently in America, and I was struck by how polite they are in normal conversation. For example, if you go to a restaurant, you'll find the waiter comes over and says something along the lines of, "Hi, I'm Greg. I'll be looking after you tonight." And it's not just eating in the restaurant, because he takes you home.
Graham Challenge.
Repetition of restaurants?
Yes, we're two restaurants. Oh, that's yes. Right, yes.
Yeah. You're doing well.
That's right.
Yeah. Great.
I'm say... in the lead. Treasure this moment.
You didn't say it with confidence, but you were right, and you've got 44 seconds available. You take over the subject of our American cousins, starting now.
When you look at our American cousins, you can't help but think we must have had a very fat aunt and uncle, because they really are enormous, aren't they? Quite the lardiest things on planet Earth. Obviously, under the sea, there must be bigger creatures.
Giles, you're challenged.
Well, this programme used to be broadcast all over the world. But there was hesitation as we went under the sea.
Yeah. No! I think he was going quite succinctly.
I'm pretty sure there was hesitation.
He could have paused because he thought he'd gone too far.
He was drowning,
but
Nicholas.
He didn't. He kept going, covering up his faux pas, as you might say.
If that's what you believe, Nicholas. No. Obviously, you're in charge,
believe
and
it,
I respect
and I have to make the decisions.
You do, and I love you. Every decision you make is always a good one.
An incorrect challenge, Graham. So you...
Yes, it's a surprise to us all.
So you keep the subject, and 28 seconds are still available. Our American cousins, starting now.
Our American cousins are more or less obsessed by health and fitness. They can't wait to get into the gym each day. Fruit.
Oh, it jars a challenge again.
Deviation. A moment ago, these people were grotesquely obese.
I had time to reflect.
And they've heard Graham's words, and they're shamed into action.
No, I think, having said what he said before, now saying that, that is a deviation. So, Charles, you've got your first point. You have the subject. 21 seconds available. Our American cousins starting now.
In 1497, John Cabot set sail from Bristol on a wonderful ship all the way to the Western world. He took with him 8 sailors. "Hello, Matelow," he greeted them with those words.
Paul Challenge.
Well, I'm just... he sailed from Bristol all the way to the Western world.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't Bristol part of the Western world?
Geographical deviation.
Yes.
He was going west. West, young man. From Bristol, the only way west is towards the United States of America is now.
Yeah, no, I mean, Paul is right. This country...
I'm so sorry.
This country is part of the Western world.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sorry, in 1497, they were not aware of that.
I don't know whether they could have been aware of that.
They were not aware of that, Nicholas. Take it from me.
But then, Giles, where was he going? If they weren't aware of it, where was he going?
He thought he was going to China. He thought he was going to Cathay and
search. Well, you go the other way. That's east.
Yes.
Of course
you get a train, not a boat.
This is what I was about to explain in the 21 seconds that were remaining to me before I conquered. But no, fine. That's
well, but hasn't he gone off the subject as well of American cousin?
Yes. No.
I don't know.
One of the sailors was a forebear of mine. That is the whole point.
Not a cousin, then?
Ah.
Aha!
A distant cousin. A cousin 17 times. Do feel free to come in. This is your programme.
No, we've enjoyed what you said, Giles. So what I'm going to do, be very generous, because of the humour that you injected, we will give you a bonus point for that.
Thank you.
But, Paul... Paul did technically have a correct challenge. So he takes over our American cousins with 10 seconds to go, starting now.
MGM's studio is one of the most...
Giles Chandler.
Oh, yes.
MGM.
No.
Repetition. I'm sorry. No. If BBC is repetition, MGM is repetition.
I deliberately said MGM's.
I should explain to our listeners that Giles gets so passionate in playing this game, he was almost epileptic there when he was...
I know, this is only round two.
Right.
Round one, actually. It just feels that you've been through longer rounds.
Shows you how much you feel it, Giles.
Yes,
right,
exactly.
You've got it back on a repetition of M with our American cousins. And 7 seconds starting now.
My cousin Bernard lives in New York. He moved up from Baltimore because Philadelphia was too big for him.
Oh, wow.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Giles Brandreth, and you won't be surprised to hear that he has actually got a commanding lead at the end of that round. And unfortunately, we have to begin the next round with Giles because it's on the card in front of it. I don't mean unfortunately that we don't like hearing from Giles because he gives incredible copy, overacts like mad, but the thing is, I would love to have somebody else start the next round so we get a different voice, but we haven't.
Delved into Giles's repertoire. He might just not do angry middle-aged nutter. He might be able to do a whole range of characters.
I like it when he's
don't
singing.
Count on it.
Giles, the subject is a dark secret. 60 seconds starting now.
I have a dark secret, and it is my
Graham Challenge.
I don't want to know it.
I'll give Graham a bonus point for that.
But it involves dental records.
Giles still has the subject, a dark secret, 58 seconds, starting now.
It involves death. Recently, I hosted the Funeral Directors Awards and congratulated them on thinking outside the box. During the course of the dinner, around the room were a range of caskets, and I was invited to lie in a coffin.
Jenny Challenge.
Double invited.
Yes.
Invited, once,
yeah,
invited, twice.
Invited to do the awards. Yes. Listen, Jenny,
I was getting bored of not hearing the sound of my own voice as well.
No, there's plenty of time yet, Jenny. There's 43 seconds on this subject. A dark secret starting now.
I have a dark secret about everybody on this panel. They've all begged me to sleep with them. Turn them down, disgusting, hideous boilers. Another dark secret, Graham isn't gay, Paul is. Giles is very common. Nicholas likes bare-knuckle boxing and I'm a thief. Just before the show, I nicked 20 quid off the producer's purse. Ah!
Graham Challenge.
Repetition of ha.
Yes, indeed, Graham. So you've gone in very cleverly there. With 21 seconds still available, a dark secret starting now.
In this business we call show, we also...
Well,
I think a hesitation as a genuine dark secret crossed his mind. I realised he didn't want to go on any further with it.
And he tried to avoid repeating show business, didn't he? Well done. Anyway, correct challenge, Paul. A dark secret and 16 seconds starting now.
I, for many years, was the voice coach for Sir Alec Guinness. When he appeared in many of those great British classics before and after the Second World War, it was my dulcet tones you heard and not his. Isn't that a remarkable thing? Oh.
So, Paul Merton was speaking then as a whistle when gained that extra point. I can't give him a bonus point for his impersonation. As good as it was, have you thought of taking it on to the one of those talent shows?
No.
Impersonation.
You ever thought of doing anything else other than this show? I should think the opportunities have been there over the years.
I've just written about them in my memoirs.
Oh, well, oh.
Very good.
There it is.
And, Graham, we're with you to begin. The subject is My Inner Monologue. 60 seconds, as usual. My inner monologue starting now.
My inner monologue consists mostly of two questions. The first one is, can I eat this? And the second one is...
Giles Challenge.
By definition, a monologue is just one subject. Monologue.
Whoa. Whoa. Who made you king of monologue?
Yeah, that's an interesting grammatical and technical subject. Yeah. I think I have to give you the benefit of the doubt, Giles, and say yes to...
If you can't go west from Bristol, you can't have a duologue in a monologue.
No, it's a difficult technical question to answer, but a monologue is a solo talk, and he wasn't giving a solo talk, he was coming back to do another one. So...
Oh, but I only... see what you mean. No, wait. Actually,
wait, no, I'm not taking this lying down.
There aren't two voices in my head.
I can hear them, there are.
So, let Derek have a shout.
No, I see what you mean, Graham. I'm always big enough to change my mind. Yes, you had one monologue, then you had another monologue, didn't you? So, Graham, you get the benefit of the doubt. You still keep the subject, my inner monologue, 51 seconds starting now.
My inner monologue, when I'm in a car, turns into a very angry monologue. Isn't it great that you can say monologue more than once? Because, of course, it's the title of the subject, my inner monologue. There, I've said it again. Nothing to be done about it. My inner monologue contains rage. Have I said that before? I don't think I have.
Giles Challenge.
Said before.
Yes. Well, listen, Giles, that was a correct challenge. 34 seconds are now available for you. You tell us something about my inner monologue starting now.
My inner monologue is concerned entirely with my weight and my obesity. No bread, rice, pasta or potatoes are at the heart of the new culinary diet that I've introduced. Nil by hand, nothing requiring the use of cutlery, no alcohol, liquid...
Paul Challenge.
Nil by hand? What? How on earth are you feeding yourself? Are you, sticking pieces of food to the ceiling with your feet? So gaffer tape them, wake up in the morning? And get the dog to pick him up for you?
This is the whole point. You lose an awful lot of weight this way.
But Giles...
No finger food, no crisps, no picking up things. Ah. Only eat food that requires the use of cutlery.
Or is it the same height as
but
you?
Giles...
No, I'm fed by young Latvian girls, as it happens.
Giles...
Come to room 17 at the Novotel later and you can see it all happening.
Giles, can you be quiet for a moment? I was listening to what you said, and you actually said no cutlery.
Oh.
So if you have no cutlery, then how can you have no hands as well to feed yourself?
No. Nil by hand, you use cutlery. I didn't say
you were using cutlery. You said no cutlery.
I just explained as was I was going
no,
to the...
Look, the audience is agreeing with me. He said no cutlery.
He could use a small trough.
Yes.
At last, the voice of reason.
Yes.
19 seconds, Paul. My inner monologue starting now.
Great, I won that challenge. Now, all I've got to do is make sure that I speak when Nicholas tells me to. Oh, he has. Nobody's remembered the fact that I've hesitated.
Giles, challenge.
A very attractive hesitation.
Yes, all right. You've got 11 seconds now. My inner monologue starting now.
My inner monologue really concerns the fact that I would like to be Nicholas...
Paul Challenge.
This deviation is the second monologue he mentioned. The subject is my inner monologue, so really he's deviation against my inner monologue because he's talking about the other monologue, which makes two monologues. By the definition of monologue, he's done monologues.
That was Giles' challenge on Graham earlier on.
And upon mature reflection, you can now think about it again. It could go either way.
No, a monologue doesn't mean to say it can only be one. You can have a succession of monologues.
Yeah, sure, okay.
And it's a case of you going on talking by yourself.
Yeah,
because otherwise Alan Bennett wouldn't have done what he has done. If you're only allowed one monologue, his career would have been shorter than it is.
Absolutely.
That's actually quite a sensible...
What a pity you didn't get the subject. You could have said all that.
I think I should get a bonus point for that Alan Bennett line.
No.
No.
What a way to milk an audience. I don't think it was worthy of a bonus point, darling. It was a very interesting comment, but it wasn't absolutely brilliant, eruditious and humorously...
It wasn't eruditious.
Eruditious, is there such a word? I don't know. Anyway, Giles, you have a correct challenge, and you have 8 seconds on my inner monologue starting now.
My inner monologue concerns my desire to be Nicholas Parsons in another life.
Paul challenges.
Did he have concerns before?
Yes.
We did in repetition.
He concerns his food and his eating and so forth, as you said. Well, listen, Paul, and my inner monologue is back with you 5 seconds to go, starting now.
As I sailed west from Bristol, I thought to myself, I've got to find somebody who's erudicious so I can...
So Paul was then speaker's whistle when, gained the next point. He's creeping up on Giles, who's 2 ahead, Graham is 3 ahead, and Jenny is 3 or 4 behind.
But all right.
That's all right. No, no. But they like to know these things, and you're giving great value in all your wonderful thoughts about...
Alan Bennett, not giving a point for Alan Bennett. National treasure. No point for Alan Bennett.
Paul, this subject is a bit bizarre, because I don't know how you're going to interpret it. It says the person to my left. That is the subject. Oh, it's all right for you, isn't it? That's right. I'm going on between my right and my left. It's going to be difficult for Graham if you get it.
Hello.
Paul, the subject is the person to my left. 60 seconds, starting now.
The person to my left is Giles Brandreth, and I think as children we all remember getting a little version of him when we were younger that we could take to bed with us and feed Farley's rusks to, and bits of evaporated milk that congealed on the end of the bedstead. I myself used to look forward immensely to the cuddly little toy.
Jenny challenge.
Used to, yes.
Yes, really? Yes, could be. Yeah.
Could be. Well, listen, Jenny. You have the subject. You have 42 seconds available. The person to my left, starting now.
The person to my left is my imaginary friend, Penelope. I've had her since I was 6. Sorry, Graham.
I should explain to our listeners that big laugh came because Graham didn't like being referred to as her imaginary friend, Penelope. Jenny, the benefit of the doubt... because you could have an imaginary friend to your left.
Yeah.
And
I
you
do.
Have 36 seconds. The person to my left, starting now.
She's always laughed at my jokes. Here's an impression of Penn. Oh, Jenny, you're so funny. You're better than all those losers on that show. You know, the one you never win, but it doesn't matter, because you're the best...
Paul Chalmers.
Sorry, haven't we moved on from inner monologue?
My impression
this is
of...
the voice that Jenny hears in her head whenever she plays Just a Minute, and probably when she walks down the street as well, I should imagine.
No, when I walk down the street, I pretend I'm being filmed.
Right.
You probably are by the rightful authorities, I should imagine.
But, Paul, what was your challenge when the rules were Just a Minute?
Oh, I've forgotten. No, I don't know.
I don't think she was deviating.
No, I was going to say deviating.
So then, benefit of the doubt, Jenny, the person to my left, 24 seconds starting now.
The real person to my left is Graham Norton. Have you ever heard of him? He's been around the block some time. I first met this lad many years ago in Edinburgh when he wore a tea towel on his head. A nativity play? No. He was pretending to be Mother Teresa in a show about Karen Carpenter.
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of he. That's quite a few
He probably did.
A bit too much repetition of he.
Yeah, it was all about Graham. I was getting a bit sick of it as well.
Yeah, no, I was looking for a way out as well. I was like, what can I do? What can I do? How can I stop this?
You've come a long way on very little.
I was hoping to buzz in before you said that.
Come on, Just a Minute, and get all the barbs, really. Jenny, well, I think he's got so much to recommend him, and he's got 4 seconds. Who? It was Paul.
Yes.
4 seconds ago, the person to my left, starting now.
Of course, I was mixing him up with teddy bears. The person to my left is actually Giles...
Right, so he's getting a very even contest. Paul was speaking as a whistle went. He's kept up on Giles. He's equal with him. Graham's one ahead, and Jenny's one behind them. And Jenny, we're with you to begin again. Would you stalk on the subject of...
Stalk? I'll stalk you any time, Nicholas.
How lovely. Right. Oh, yes, especially when you know the subject. A gut feeling. That's the subject. 60 seconds, starting now.
A gut feeling can sometimes mean you have appendicitis, so if it really hurts, go to the doctors, for heaven's sake, don't muck about. Otherwise, it could be women's intuition. Sometimes we can feel in our waters.
Graham challenge.
I'm so with the woman in the front there. Yes, it's sometimes. Repetition of sometimes.
You said sometimes twice.
Yes.
Well, when I get a gut feeling, I very rarely think it's women's intuition. But it might just be me.
I love it the way Graham has got a... Is
There's
that
lots of audience participation here.
Well, no, because they know I'm a bit of a lame duck on the panel, so they're just helping. They're just going, God love him, he's put a shirt on, let's try and help him. You know, he's had a wash, he's left the house, yeah. Now try and help him.
Yes, well, there is someone
and
in the front row.
I thank them. Thank you very much.
I don't know which one it is you're playing with, but...
Well, no, that lady there was the sometimes.
Well, the lady in the white there, or the lady in the...
Oh, it doesn't really matter, it's radio, isn't it? We're just... We're just pointing at darkness if you're listening at home.
Yes. But our listeners have imaginations too. Which
yeah,
is
let them use them.
Right, let's get on with the show. 47 seconds are available. And, Graham, a gut feeling with you starting now.
When I was a child, I had a gut feeling and I didn't want to go to school. And my mother made me go to the doctor and he said, you've got appendicitis. But, of course, I didn't. I was just pretending. But I went along with it and had the operation.
Janet.
Well, the weird thing is, exactly the same thing happened to me.
No!
Yes! And I thought, you know, I had tummy ache and all that thing, and basically I was trying to wag off school.
Yeah.
And I ended up at Blackpool Royal Infirmary being cut open.
Because you'd get in more trouble if you said to your mother, actually, I'm just making it, because your mother would hit you very hard if you said, I've wasted your time. Mm. So easier to have general anaesthetic and, and have an operation. Yeah.
Is there actually anything... Does the appendicitis actually exist? Yeah. Is it a story that's made up by kids to get away out of school?
It's the same thing happened to you.
So welcome to the chat show between Graham Norton and Jenny Eclair and the hospital information...
Well, that was just weird.
Right, yes. 30 seconds available. Graham, you were interrupted. So you have a gut feeling still. 30 seconds starting now.
I have a gut feeling that I'm speaking now, but within 30 seconds I won't be, because it's very unlikely I'll keep this subject of a gut feeling. That's my gut feeling. I could be wrong. You don't know whether to trust a gut feeling or...
Jars challenge.
Eventually hesitation came.
No, I didn't... Listen, every member of the audience is saying no as well as me.
Repetition
yes, people.
Of the same theme.
Let us storm the Brandreth. Let us tear him down.
I would like to challenge on the fact that he tried to say won't, but it came out as gaunt, so it was deviation
Jenny,
from the
Jenny,
word
you
won't.
Can't have retrospective challenges.
Yeah, Jenny.
Charles, very keen, but incorrect. Graham, still got the subject, a gut feeling, 16 seconds starting now.
I have a gut feeling that 16 seconds will seem incredibly long now. A gut feeling...
Oh. Repetition of seconds.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
St. Giles to the rescue.
You talked about seconds in the other time you were talking. Right. So, Giles, well, listen, you've got 12 seconds, a gut feeling starting now.
I've been cherishing through the perishing winter nights and days a funny little phrase that means such a lot to me that you've got to be with me heart and soul. Gut feeling. I've got that gut feeling. It makes me feel so sweet and light and nice.
Is that your new record, Giles?
It's a very old song. It's a very old song. I've got a gut feeling about it, though.
Right. Well, Giles, you were speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. And you're now just ahead of Paul Merton and Graham Norton and Jenny Eclair in that order. And this is the final round. I don't think it was that sort of gas, like a vampire. Graham, it's your turn to begin, so would you begin on this subject... Plan B.
Yes.
60 seconds, starting now.
Plan B in my life seems a very long time ago. I'm probably on X.
Paul Chalmers.
There was a hesitation.
I think that was
there
a
was.
Hesitation.
Yep, yes, there was. Yes.
So, Paul, you have a correct challenge. You have Plan B. 53 seconds, starting now.
If I don't happen to win this edition of Just a Minute, I won't mind, because we are recording another programme in this venue some weeks from now. The audience here won't know that because they won't be here for that other one. Because that happens.
Jenny challenge.
Two won'ts. Won't,
two won't.
They won't
be here.
Won't know, exactly.
They won't know They won't be here. 43 seconds are still available.
I can't remember what it is. What's the
subject? Don't mind.
Just a Minute, Radio 4, BBC...
Yeah, you live in Camberwell. All right, you live in Camberwell.
You won an award.
Don't tell them that.
We'll get you a taxi, all right?
Some of them think I've done better than that.
And we're in the radio theatre and you have an imaginary friend.
Who are you? Okay, I've got it. Okay.
You've got it? You've got it, right. 43 seconds, starting now.
Plan B is usually what you get when you can't afford Plan A, like me. I want a swimming pool on my roof, but I have to make do with an inflatable plastic stupid thing. When you go into this show business thing, people always say, thing. Yeah,
now.
I know.
Oh, she knows. Repetition of thing.
That's right. Too many things there, I'm afraid, Jenny. And 28 seconds are still available, Paul, and you have Plan B starting now.
I was recently working in Hollywood, and there are a lot of people there who don't have a Plan B, but I think it's essential, because who's to say that Plan A, the top of your dreams, is going to come true? If you're not going to be a star at Universal Studios, it doesn't matter. It's not paramount. You can be somebody else. Working in a car wash, washing these beautiful vehicles that come in, looking towards the sky and saying to yourself, I'm going to be somebody one day when that whistle goes.
So Paul Merton then, speaking as the whistle went, brought that round to the end with a great style and panache, and also brought the show to the end in the same way. Let me give you this final situation. It's move this way and that way like a pendulum. And might I just say that, Jenny, there's only one point that separates all four of them, if you're interested in this way. Yes. And Jenny didn't finish in the first three, but she was only one point behind.
Oh, God.
And Giles and Graham together didn't finish in the first two. So it means 2 points ahead of all the others was Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, you're the winner this week. Thank you. And it only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Giles Brandreth, Jenny Eclair and Graham Norton. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle magnificently every time the 60 seconds elapsed. And we thank our producer, Talusha Gilani. And we are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're also grateful to this lovely audience sitting down here in the radio theatre, who seem to have enjoyed themselves. It's made our job so much easier for the warmth and laughter you've extended to us. So from our audience, and from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, goodbye, and tune in the next time we play Just a Minute!
And next week, you can hear the last in the current series of Just a Minute with Paul Merton, Sheila Hancock, Tony Hawkes and Ross Noble.